Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Those words of our Lord that we consider on this Reformation Sunday is taken from Paul's letter to the Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 9. Paul writes, "I marvel that you're turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another. But there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed." So far, text. Please be seated. In the name of the crucified and risen Savior, Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with the incomparable gifts of forgiveness, life, and eternal salvation, dear fellow redeemed. Reformation Day is an occasion worthy of celebration and thanksgiving to the Lord. We rejoice and give thanks on this special day because this is the anniversary of the Reformation movement of the 16th century, in which the gospel of Christ, which had long been obscured and perverted, was by the grace of God brought to the light of day and proclaimed both far and wide, even to this day. That wonderful rediscovered message is the good news of God's gracious gift of salvation to sinful man through Jesus Christ. The apostle makes known these glad tidings in his letter to the Romans, where he writes, "But now the righteousness from God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness from God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." All mankind, without exception, have sinned against God and are therefore deserving of eternal wrath and condemnation in hell. But God has shown his grace and mercy to us in Jesus. Instead of condemning the world eternally in hell, our Heavenly Father, in his infinite, unmerited love, sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to make full atonement for all sins of the whole world. On the basis of Jesus' redemptive work alone, sinners are justified before God. That is, God has declared us righteous before him, holy, without any sin or blame on our souls, holy, and have been forgiven of all of our sins through Jesus. This wonderful blessing of forgiveness and finally eternal salvation in heaven through Jesus is a gift. The gift of grace, freely given without any merit or worthiness in us. We received and enjoyed the full benefit of all this when we were led by the Spirit of God to repent of our sins and to believe on Jesus as our Savior. Having tasted of this sweet, mindful of this priceless treasures found in and received through the gospel, we rejoice and give thanks to God, not only for uncovering the gospel truths and making them widely known in the Reformation period, but also for making it possible for many later, many, many years later, up to this day, to be partakers of the spiritual, eternal blessings of saving grace in Christ. For in order to ensure that we and many others might be partakers of the spiritual and eternal blessings of the gospel, down through the centuries of time, God caused his word of life to be proclaimed and his holy sacraments to administered so that people in every generation of time might come to know and believe in our Savior Jesus. Having tasted of the sweet gospel of Jesus, of salvation through grace, through faith in him, we cannot help but be filled with amazement as to how the gospel could be lost. The scripture text before us today helps us to better understand how such a great tragedy took place, and at the same time, help us to guard against losing it for ourselves in this day. The Epistle to the Galatians was an inspired letter written by the Apostle Paul to a number of Christian congregations in the Asia Minor province of Galatia. Galatians were first introduced to the gospel when Paul made his second missionary journey. And then, now, he made a second trip to these congregations in Galatia to try to fortify and strengthen their knowledge and their faith in the gospel of Christ. However, much to Paul's amazement and consternation, a short time later, he learned that the churches in Galatia were in the process of sliding down the slippery slope of losing those gospel truths. This was due in part to a certain group of false teachers known as Judaizers, who had worked their way into these congregations in Galatia. They were Jews who believed that Jesus did, through his death, paid for human sins, but then they also added to that, in order for you to be saved, you have to observe the laws of Moses, like observe those different Jewish festivals like the Passover, and don't eat pork, have your male children circumcised, along with all the other laws of Moses. This human scheme of salvation was the misbelief that a person is saved through faith in Jesus plus human works of the law. But this teaching was in direct contradiction to what the Apostle Paul had taught them and revealed to them in Holy Scripture. He said, "Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law." Any room there for adding works of the law to contribute to our salvation? No, apart from the works of the law. Paul also made known that if anyone depended upon their works for their salvation, they would have to keep all those laws perfectly, without fail, throughout their life. Otherwise, he'd come under God's curse. Paul writes in this regard, "For as many are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, 'Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them.'" In spite of this testimony of Paul, the Judaizers were able to convince the Galatian congregations to listen to them rather than Paul. How so? Well, they convinced him Paul really wasn't an apostle sent by Christ, and therefore they shouldn't give any credence, don't listen to what he said to you or believe in it. The Judaizers also deceived the people by using some of the same Christian terms that were used by Paul. They said their teachings, which were basically work righteousness, is the gospel. Another likely reason for the ready reception of their teachings of work righteousness is that it's appealing to the human pride. Sinful pride can cause us to think that we can contribute to our own salvation, either in part or in whole, by performing works that will make us acceptable to God. This scenario was not too much different from what happened in the Christian church in the days leading up to the Reformation. There too, certain religious teachers had perverted the gospel of Christ by introducing work righteousness in the church. However, instead of questioning Paul's apostleship like the Judaizers did, they added to Scripture their own teaching, their own human teachings to the Bible, and misinterpreted Paul's divine teachings of the gospel. An example of this was their teaching on purgatory, which is not found in the Bible, but was dreamt up in human minds. This is based on the belief that when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't pay for all of your sins. There's still some sins that he didn't take care of that you're going to have to take care of by meritorious religious rites. And if you're not successful in making satisfaction for those sins, after you die, you end up in purgatory. And there you suffer punishment for long periods of time until you finally are released from purgatory and can go to heaven. But then they said, in order to help your relatives, your dear loved ones, to get out of purgatory a little sooner, you can say, pay us some money and we'll say some masses for you. What a dreadful thing. Dreadful. This is very much like the false teachings of the Judaizers, who believe that a person is saved through faith in Christ and also by the works of the law, keeping the laws of Moses. In addition to the spiritually destructive teaching of work righteousness by the Judaizers in the Catholic Church, we also find evidence of this in some liberal Protestant churches today. These are the very churches that are supposed to be the heirs of the Blessed Reformation. But just as the Judaizers in the Catholic Church have caused the loss of the gospel, so also liberal Protestant churches. Their loss of the gospel came about when they said, not everything in the Bible is God's word. What you find written by the Apostle Paul, you don't have to accept that, all of it or in part, as God's word. Now, if you studied the epistles, the letters of Paul, you will find that they are full of the message of God's saving grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Because of their unwillingness to accept all the revelations in the Bible as God's word, the sad outcome is the compromise of the gospel. They either teach that a person is saved by some of his works or all of his works, some or in part. You're saved by cooperating with God, meeting him halfway. You do your part and God does his part. Sounds like work righteousness, doesn't it? The Apostle Paul has some strong words of warning for anyone promoting a false gospel, saying, if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. What's he saying? Let them be cast into hell. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel than what you have received, let him be accursed. So Paul's words of condemnation for those who preach a false gospel, because their faulty teachings can cause people to lose what Jesus has done for them. The responsibility for the Galatians going down the path that led to the loss of the gospel was not just simply only because of the Judaizers. Those congregations invited them into their midst, and they sat and listened to them. So they share in the blame. And Paul said of them, I marvel that you are turning, that is, you are permitting yourself to be turned away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. So it was the Galatians who welcomed the Judaizers into their midst and lent a willing ear to their teachings, in spite of the fact that those teachings ran completely contrary to what Paul had taught them. Like the Galatians, Christians in every generation can become prey for false teachers and eventually lose the gospel if they're not vigilant, watchful guardians of the Christian beliefs and allow themselves to fall into the spirit of complacency or apathy. Many are the teachings of the Bible to watch out, keep your eyes open for any who would come to you with teachings that are contrary to God's word. Don't sit at their feet and listen to them, but that rather the Lord says avoid them. In order that we might be able to detect false teachings and retain the precious gospel truths and be saved, the Lord instructs us to diligently continue to read, study, hear, and meditate on the words and teachings of Christ. It is not just simply enough for us to, as children, to learn those basic truths of the Christian church and then just stop studying what God has revealed to us. We need to look again and again and again to retain those truths. God has graciously blessed us with a wonderful heritage of the Reformation movement by delivering to us the gospel of salvation and by creating faith in our hearts to believe it. May God help us by his grace and mercy to retain those truths for our eternal salvation. And may he help us share that message with others who all would listen. Amen. Please rise. And the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.